Mesechus Vezor Perik Dalet Mishnah Dalet Full Perik Dalet Mishnah Zayin. Avodah Shel Nochri, an idol belonging to a non-Jew, Asur Miyad, is forbidden immediately, meaning as soon as it has been made for the sake of being served as an idol, even before he has worshipped the idol, it is already forbidden and it has the name of Avodah Zarah, and it will be forbidden for anybody to benefit from that idol. This is learned from the Pasuk, which says, Pesilei Elohim Tisufun Bo'esh, the forms of their gods you should burn by fire. Which implies that as soon as they've been formed, even before they've actually been worshipped, already from then it is forbidden to benefit from them. However, v'shal Yisrael, if a Jew formed an idol for the sake of selling it, in Asurach to Oved, it has not become forbidden to benefit from that idol until the idol has been worshipped by the Jew. And this is also learned from Pesukim that talk about a Jewish person who goes and secretly worships Avodah Zarah. Since it's talking about him doing it secretly, we can see that it's talking specifically about the worship of the Avodah Zarah. So we see from there that only once the Avodah Zarah has been actually served, does it become forbidden to benefit from, if it is the Jew who has made it and is going to serve it. So that's for the starting time of when Avodah Zarah becomes forbidden. Now the Mishnah turns its focus onto when Avodah Zarah, which is already forbidden, when that would become permitted. And this is a concept known as Bittul Avodah Zarah, nullifying a idol. And as we're going to see, this is done by the non-Jew doing a particular act which totally disregards and disrespects his idol. And Bittul Avodah Zarah only works to permit that idol to now benefit from if it is done by somebody who serves Avodah Zarah, he's an idol worshipper, and it has to be somebody who knows what he's doing. Not just a child or somebody, but a regular person who serves Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah says, Nochri, a non-Jew like that, Mevatel Avodah Zarah Shaloi, can nullify his own idol. And this concept of Bittul Avodah Zarah is also learned from a Pasuk, that only as long as the non-Jews are treating their idols as idols and gods, only as long as that is the case, is it forbidden to benefit from those idols. As well as that, Rishal Chaveroi, a non-Jew who serves idols, is also able to nullify another non-Jew's idols. Even if the first non-Jew doesn't necessarily serve the Avodah Zarah which he is disrespecting, since he does serve Avodah Zarah in general, when he disrespects and does something towards the other Avodah Zarah, it would indeed nullify it. Now, the Mishnah implies that if the Avodah Zarah belonged and was served by a Jew, then it is actually impossible to nullify that Avodah Zarah. Then it will be forbidden to benefit from that item, that idol, forever. And not only that, but v'Yisrael in Mivat Avodah Zarah Shel Nochri, a Jew is not able to nullify even an idol belonging to a non-Jew, and which was served by a non-Jew. The whole concept of Bittul Avodah Zarah has to be done by a non-Jew who serves Avodah Zarah towards an idol which is owned and served by non-Jews. Continues the Mishnah, Mevatel Avodah Zarah, one who nullifies Avodah Zarah. I'm going to see in a moment all sorts of examples how exactly to do that. But somebody who nullifies an Avodah Zarah, Bittul Misham Sheha, he has also, together with that, nullified any of the decorations and the ornaments of that Avodah Zarah. Because of course, once the idol itself is not considered to be Avodah Zarah, all of the ornaments are irrelevant, and they would also become permitted. Bittul Misham Sheha, either if somebody does something to disregard and nullify certain decorations which are used for Avodah Zarah, but not the idol itself, so Misham Sheha Mutorin, those decorations which he's done Bittul on, would become permitted. However, Vihi Asura, the idol itself which he didn't disregard and disrespect and nullify, that would remain prohibited for anybody to benefit from. Mishnah Hey, Ketzer Mevatlo, how exactly does he go about being Mevatel, nullifying the idol? And the Mishnah gives a number of examples. Kotel Reish Ozna, if he cut off the tip of its finger, Reish Chotma, the tip of its nose, Reish Etzbal, the tip of its finger, Pachosa, if you flattened out the face of an image of Avodah Zarah, some form of an idol, Afal Pishlei Chisra, even if you didn't actually take out any of the material of the Avodah Zarah. In terms of the material, everything is still there, just that you flattened part of it out and totally deformed what it was supposed to look like. In all these cases, Bittla, this would be considered a sufficient nullification of that Avodah Zarah, because it is a clear sign of disrespect and abandonment of that idol. However, says the Mishnah, Rokak Bofaneha, if the non-Jew who serves Avodah Zarah, if he spat in front of the Avodah Zarah, or Hishtin Bifaneho, he urinated in front of it. Gera, if he dragged the Avodah Zarah in dirt in a very disrespecting manner, the Zarak Boyasat Soya, or he threw excrement towards the Avodah Zarah. Interestingly, the Mishnah says, Harizei Eina Betela, the Avodah Zarah would not be considered nullified, because those who serve Avodah Zarah would sometimes get angry and bring out their anger on their gods, on their idols. So as long as he hasn't done anything to physically change the idol, he just spat in front of it or did things like that, then the Avodah Zarah would not be nullified. Because we assume, yeah, it's true that he's angry right now, but tomorrow he'll come back and continue to serve the idol. So long as no physical change has been done to the idol, it is not nullified and it would still be forbidden to benefit from that idol. What happens if Machara, the non-Jew, sold his Avodah Zarah to somebody else? A Mishkana, or he gave it as a deposit. Let's say he borrowed money and he had to give something to the lender to keep of his in case he wouldn't be able to pay back. And indeed, he didn't end up being able to pay back, so the lender was able to keep this idol. Rebbe Omer Bittel. Rebbe says that this is considered to be a nullification. He has now effectively abandoned his idol. This is not considered to be a sufficient enough nullification of the Avodah Zarah. Some understand that we're talking specifically about a case where the non-Jew gave it to a different non-Jew who serves Avodah Zarah, so he assumes that the idol will continue to be served. And that's why it's not viewed as such a disregard of this idol. Be'azameh, according to the Chachomim, this would not be enough, and you would again need to do something physical to change the idol in order to nullify it and to make it permitted to benefit from. An idol whose worshippers abandoned the idol at a time of peace. There wasn't a war going on, nothing to motivate them to run away in a quick panic. Rather, they decided to leave. And when they left behind their idol where they originally were, not intending to come back to get it. Muteras, it is now permitted to benefit from that idol, because there's no really bigger disregard than just leaving the idol behind. However, B'Shas Mulchama, if they leave it behind at a time of war, then Asura, it is forbidden to benefit from that idol, and even if the people who leave don't plan on coming back at all. Nevertheless, since it's a time of big panic, we suspect that it wasn't a real proper thought-out decision which was made, and therefore it doesn't represent a sufficient degree of abandonment to permit the idol from then onwards. This example is now discussing very nice-looking stone, some sort of marble perhaps, which idol worshippers would place all along a pathway when a king was visiting a particular area. On the path where he was designated to go, they would lay out many of these stones, and they would place their idols on top of these stones, and when the king passed by, his practice was to bow down as he passed the idols. So these stones are there in order to allow the idols to be placed on them. But nevertheless, the Mishnah says that Ha'il Mutaris, it's actually permitted to still benefit from these stones, because these idol worshippers only really set up these stones to be bases for their idols when the kings pass by. This doesn't happen very often at all. They're not designating this to be used as a base of an idol. It's on a totally temporary basis. And even when they would lay them out for the king would often change what path he would go on, so he might not end up even coming here. Whenever they put these there for the idol to be there, it was with the mindset that they're not really designating it fully towards the Avodah Zarah. If the king wouldn't end up coming there, they wouldn't actually put the idols on top of these bases. They would just be ready there for when the king is about to come, then they would place their idols there. So the mere fact that they've been placed there and designated for this purpose is not enough to prohibit them from having any benefit from these things. Mishnah Zion. This Mishnah records an interesting question which some Roman philosophers asked Shalos HaZakenim Beroimi. There were certain Roman philosophers who asked the righteous elders, the Talmid Chachomim of Chal Yisrael, they asked them the following philosophical question. If Hashem's will is clearly against Avodah Zarah, he doesn't want people to serve idolatry. If that is the case, then Loma Einu Mevatlo, why doesn't Hashem, so to speak, nullify the Avodah Zarah by simply destroying it? Why does he continue allowing it to exist? Of course, he has the power to stop it existing as soon as Hashem decides. So why does he not just destroy all of the Avodah Zarah in order to stop people serving it? Omulahen, the Talmid Chachamim said to these philosophers, if all of these idolaters would serve things which are not totally necessary and vital for the world, so then maybe I could hear that Hashem would destroy it and stop allowing the idols to exist. But these idol worshippers serve the sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations, part of nature which Hashem set up, which is an intrinsic part of nature which cannot be separated from the rest of nature. Hashem doesn't want to destroy that. That's part of the makeup of the world. Should he destroy his entire world because of these fools who are serving Avodah Zarah? They'll receive punishment one day, but that the fact that they're serving Avodah Zarah should make Hashem destroy his entire world. He had a purpose in creating the world. So the philosophers said to the Talmid Chachamim in Cain, if that's the case, then he should still destroy those things, those idols, which the world does not require. There are many things which idol worshippers serve, which are not part of the main makeup of the universe. So you should destroy those, and you can leave the things which the world does require, the things which are part of the main makeup of the world, so Hashem should leave those. But everything else you should actually destroy. Omulahen, the Talmid Chachamim said back to these philosophers, Af onu machzikni de'avdein shel elu. This would actually encourage and support those who serve the parts of nature, like the sun and the moon, Sha'omim, because they would say, Ah, teidu shein elohais, now we've got a proof. Now you can see that these things which we serve are really gods. Shahari lo botlu, because they didn't stop existing, they weren't destroyed. Whereas all of the other idols were destroyed, so you see that these must be the true gods. And of course that is not a desired result, quite the opposite of what the desired result would be, to destroy the idols. And that is why Hashem doesn't destroy even half of the idols, as the Mishnah has just explained.